Recently received a story, an email from one of our parishioners that I think fits for this fifth Sunday of Easter. It's called An Atheist in the Woods. You may be familiar with it. It begs repeating. An atheist was walking through the woods, and he said, "What majestic trees, what powerful rivers, what beautiful animals." Suddenly he heard a rustling in the bushes behind him. The atheist turned to look and saw a 7-foot grizzly bear charge towards him. He ran as fast as he could along the path. He looked over his shoulder and saw that the bear was closing on him. He looked over his shoulder again and the bear was even closer. And then he tripped and fell. Rolling over to pick himself up, he found the bear was right on top of him. Reaching towards him with his left paw and raising the right paw to strike. At that instant, the atheist cried out, "Oh my God!" Time froze. The bear froze. The forest became silent. And a bright light shone upon the man. And a voice came out of the sky. "You deny my existence for all these years. You teach others that I do not exist. And even credit creation to some cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you now among my flock, a believer?" said the voice. The atheist looked directly into the light. "It would be hypocritical of me to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian now after all I've done. But perhaps you could just maybe make the bear a good Catholic Christian." A pause. "Very well," said the voice. The light went out. The sounds of the forest resumed. And the bear dropped his right arm, making the sign of the cross, brought both of his paws together, bowed his head, and said, "Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty." All right. Why that fun little story about an atheist? Because I think we run the risk, those of us, followers, believers, we don't run the risk of being atheists. I don't know how you can be an atheist. It blows my mind. Not a risk for us, ever. But we run the risk of becoming what we call practical atheists. Those who stand here, or sit here, present company excluded, and say, "I believe in God. God is real. Creation, however he did it, no problem. I believe that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one. How? Don't know. He did it." But then live our lives between Sunday and Sunday as if he maybe doesn't exist or care enough about me or really have power over everything in my life. That's practical atheism. "I believe in you. You're great. I worship you. But somehow there's a distance between you, this good God, and the mess I live in, and the problems in my life," as if Jesus was somehow powerless, or I was somehow unworthy. What happened to the apostles between "do not let your hearts be troubled" and Jesus saying, "If you believe in me, you're going to do the things that I'm doing right here"? And not even just those, even more. To go from held up in fear in the upper room on the day of the resurrection to bold apostolic proclamation, Peter raising the dead. Peter did. He was kind of a loser. And he rose, he raised a dead person. What happened between "we are scared and troubled"? Because Jesus says in the gospel, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. And now go out and do my works," and not even those, even more. Jesus said that. "What you've seen me do, you're going to do. Walk on water. Heal the sick. Give sight to the blind. Raise the dead." Jesus said this to us. So between "I'm scared, my heart is troubled, and I'm going to go and do the works of God," more than Jesus did, is a deep movement of trust in what Jesus said. And today we have Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's one of the seven I am's. One of the seven I am's, he said, I am the bread of life in John 6. I am the light of the world in John 8. I am the gate in John 9. I am the good shepherd in John 10. I am the resurrection and the life in John 11. I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14, which we have right now. And I am the true vine in John 15. Jesus is saying, that's who I am. Life, light, your shepherd, the true vine, power. And between our hearts being troubled and the extraordinary works that he wants to do stands us. Practical atheism crushes that because it leads the heart to believe that somehow he's limited in my life and in this world. But no, he said, I am the way, that I am the life. He is the power. And so for those works to happen, we have to really believe that he's going to do that and can do it for lowly me, sinful me, loser me. Practical atheism is what gets us into the predicaments we're in. True belief, and not just an intellectual exercise. Jesus, now, power, please, is what changes the world. It did in the first centuries, and it has to happen now. What does it look like? Simply this. Repeat after me. Jesus, your power in my life, now. Jesus, your power in my family, now. Jesus, your life in my pain, now. So if we would do that, imagine if we would do that throughout the course of the day, in our hearts and out loud with our families, watch out. That's what we have to do. Actually, start believing that between Sunday and Sunday. Jesus, your power, it's a resurrection power. It's life. It's light. It's his guidance over everything that ails me, scares me, bothers me. You. And then we step away. That's real belief in Jesus' power. You know, we ask our kids in the high school and we give them a little survey, a little math problem. How long has Jesus been dead? Start doing the math and like, okay, 2023 minus 30 or 33. Let's say, it's a trick question. He's not dead. He's not dead. The answer is zero. How long has Jesus been dead? He's not. But a practical atheism starts doing the math. Like, okay, I'm 2023 minus 30. But the heart of a true believer says, he's not dead. He's right here. His power is alive in my life right now because I beg him and I'm not worthy. But I believe that his power has no limits over my heart, over my soul, over my family, over my work, and over my government, and over my city, and over all the craziness that's happening socially in the world. Jesus, your power now. And then we've done our job. Jesus, give us true faith. Not just that you exist, but that you really want to pour your power into my heart, into my life, so that my heart won't be troubled, so that the works that you did, and even greater ones, will be done here in Little Bismarck, North Dakota. Give us that faith.